I remove her bra and skirt, then cup her behind and kiss her shoulder. Leaning against her, I nuzzle her hair. Her scent lingers in my nostrils, soothing, familiar, and uniquely Anna. The feel of her body against mine is both calming and enticing. She really is the whole package. You intoxicate me, Miss Steele, and you calm me. Such a heady combination. Grateful that she's here, I kiss her hair, then take her hand and pull her into the hot shower. Ow! She squeaks and closes her eyes, flinching under the steamy cascade. It's only a little hot water. I grin down at her. Opening one eye, she lifts her chin and slowly surrenders to the heat. Turn around, I order. I want to wash you. She complies, and I squeeze some shower gel on my hand, work up a lather, and begin to massage her shoulders. I have something else to tell you, she says, her shoulders tensing. Oh, yes? I keep my voice mild. Why is she tense? My hands glide over her chest to her beautiful breasts. My friend Jose's photography show is opening Thursday in Portland. Yes, what about it? The photographer again? I said I would go. Do you want to come with me? The words come in a rush, as if she's anxious to get them out. An invitation? I'm stunned. I only get invitations from my family, from work, and from Elena. What time?
The opening is at 7:30.
This will count as more, surely. I kiss her ear and whisper.
Okay.
Her shoulders soften as she leans back against me. She seems relieved, and I'm not sure whether to be amused or annoyed. Am I really that unapproachable? Were you nervous about asking me?
Yes, how can you tell?
Anastasia, your whole body's just relaxed. I mask my irritation.
Well, you just seem to be, on the jealous side.
Yes, I'm jealous. The thought of Anna with anyone else is unsettling. Very unsettling. Yes, I am. And you do well to remember that. But thank you for asking. We'll take Charlie Tango. She flashes me a quick grin as my hands slide down her body, the body she's given to me and no one else.
Can I wash you?
She asks, diverting me. I don't think so. I kiss her neck as I rinse her back.
Will you ever let me touch you?
Her voice is a gentle entreaty, but it doesn't stop the darkness that's swirling suddenly from nowhere and tightening around my throat. No. I will it away, cupping and concentrating on Anna's ass, her fucking glorious behind. My body responds on a primal level, at war with the darkness. I need her. I need her to chase my fear away. Put your hands on the wall, Anastasia. I'm going to take you again, I whisper. And with a startled glance at me, she splays her hands on the tiles. I grab her hips, pulling her back from the wall. Hold fast, Anastasia, I warn, as the water streams over her back. She bends her head and braces herself as my hands sweep through her pubic hair. She squirms, her behind brushing my arousal. Fuck. And like that, my residual fear melts away. Do you want this? I ask as my fingers tease her. In answer, she wiggles her butt against my erection, making me smile. Tell me, I demand, my voice strained.
Yes.
Her agreement slices through the pouring water, keeping the darkness at bay. Oh, baby. She's still wet from earlier. From me? From her? I don't know. In the moment I give a silent word of thanks to Dr. Green, no more condoms. I ease into Anna and slowly, deliberately make her mine again. I wrap her in a bathrobe and kiss her soundly. Dry your hair, I order, handing her a hairdryer I never use. Are you hungry?
Famished,
she admits, and I don't know if she means it or if she said it merely to please me, but pleased I am. Great, me too. I'll check where Mrs. Jones is with dinner. You have 10 minutes. Don't get dressed. I kiss her once more and pad out to the kitchen. Gail is washing something at the sink. She looks up as I peer over her shoulder.
Clams, Mr. Gray, she says.
Delicious. Pasta alle vongole, one of my favorites. 10 minutes? I ask.
12,
she says. Great. She gives me a look as I head into my study. I ignore it. She's seen me in less than my bathrobe before. What the hell is her problem? I check through some emails and my phone to see if there's any news about Leela. Nothing. But since Anna's arrival, I don't feel as hopeless as I did earlier. Anna enters the kitchen at the same time that I do, lured, no doubt, by the tantalizing smell of our dinner. When she sees Mrs. Jones, she clutches the neck of her bathrobe.
Just in time,
Gail says, serving our meal in two large bowls at the place settings on the counter. Sit. I point to one of the bar stools. Anna's anxious eyes pass from me to Mrs. Jones. She's self-conscious. Baby, I have staff. Get over it. Wine, I offer, to distract her.
Please,
she says, sounding reserved as she takes her seat. I open a bottle of Sancerre and pour two small glasses.
There's cheese in the fridge if you'd like, sir, Gail says.
I nod, and she exits the room, much to Anna's relief. I take my seat. Cheers. I raise my glass.
Cheers,
Anna replies, and the crystal glasses sing as we clink. She takes a bite of her food and makes an appreciative noise in the back of her throat. Perhaps she is famished.
Are you going to tell me?
She asks. Tell you what? Mrs. Jones has outdone herself. The pasta tastes delicious.
What I said in my sleep.
I shake my head. Eat up. You know I like watching you eat. She pouts with mock exasperation.
You are so pervy,
she exclaims under her breath. Oh, baby, you have no idea. And a thought springs to mind. Maybe we should explore something new in the playroom tonight. Something fun. Tell me about this friend of yours, I ask.
My friend?
The photographer. I keep my voice light, but she regards me with a fleeting frown.
Well, we met the first day of college. He's an engineering major, but his passion is photography.
And?
That's it.
Her evasive answers are irritating.
Nothing else?
She tosses her hair over her shoulder.
We've become good friends. It turns out my dad and Jose's dad served together in the military before I was born. They've gotten back in touch, and they're now best buds.
Oh. Your dad and his dad?
Yeah.
She twirls more pasta around her fork. I see.
This tastes delicious.
She gives me a contented smile, and her robe gapes a little, revealing the swell of her breast. The sight stirs my cock. How are you feeling? I ask.
Fine,
she says. Up for more?
More?
More wine? More sex in the playroom?
A small glass, please.
I pour her a little more Sancerre. I don't want either of us to drink too much if we're going to play.
How's the, situation that brought you to Seattle?
Leela, shit. This I do not want to discuss. Out of hand, but nothing for you to worry about, Anastasia. I have plans for you this evening. I want to see if we can play this so-called arrangement of ours both ways.
Oh?
Yes.
I want you ready and waiting in my playroom in 15 minutes. I stand up, watching her closely to gauge her reaction. She takes a quick sip of her wine, her pupils widening. You can get ready in your room. Incidentally, the walk-in closet is now full of clothes for you. I don't want any arguments about them. Her mouth sets in a surprised O, and I give her a stern look, daring her to argue with me. Remarkably, she says nothing, and I head off to my study to send a quick email to Roz, telling her I want to start the process to acquire SIP as soon as possible. I scan a couple of work emails, but see nothing in my inbox about Mrs. Reed. I put thoughts of Leela out of my mind. She's preoccupied me for the last 24 hours. Tonight, I'm going to focus on Anna and have some fun. When I return to the kitchen, Anna's disappeared. I presume she's getting ready upstairs. In my closet, I remove my robe and slip on my favorite jeans. As I do, images of Anna in my bathroom come to mind. Her flawless back, then her hands pressed against the tiles while I fucked her. Boy, the girl has stamina. Let's see how much. With a sense of exhilaration, I collect my iPod from the living room and bolt upstairs to the playroom. When I find Anna kneeling as she should be at the entrance facing the room, eyes down, legs parted, and wearing only her panties, my first feeling is one of relief. She's still here. She's game. My second is pride. She has followed my instructions to the letter. My smile is hard to hide. Miss Steele does not back down from a challenge. Closing the door behind me, I note that her bathrobe has been hung up on the peg. I walk past her barefoot and deposit my iPod on the chest. I've decided that I'm going to deprive her of all her senses but touch, and see how she fares with that. The bed has been made up with satin sheets, and the leather shackles are in place. At the chest, I take out a hair tie, a blindfold, a fur glove, earbuds, and the handy transmitter that Barney designed for my iPod. I lay out the items in a neat row, plugging the transmitter into the top of the iPod, letting Anna wait. Anticipation is half the build-up to a scene. Once I'm satisfied, I go and stand over her. Anna's head is bowed, the ambient light burnishing her hair. She looks modest and beautiful, the epitome of a submissive. You look lovely. I cup her face and tilt her head up until blue eyes meet gray. You are one beautiful woman, Anastasia, and you're all mine, I whisper. Stand up. She's a little stiff as she gets to her feet. Look at me, I order, and when I look into her eyes, I know I could drown in her serious, rapt expression. I've got her full attention. We don't have a signed contract, Anastasia, but we've discussed limits. And I want to reiterate we have safe words, okay? She blinks a couple of times but remains mute. What are they? I demand. She hesitates. Oh, this will never do. What are the safe words, Anastasia?
Yellow.
And?
Red.
Remember those. She raises an eyebrow in obvious scorn and is about to say something. Oh no, not in my playroom. Don't start with your smart mouth in here, Miss Steele, or I will fuck it with you on your knees. Do you understand? As pleasing as that thought is, her obedience is what I want right now. She swallows her chagrin. Well?
Yes, sir,
she says quickly. Good girl. My intention is not that you should use the safe word because you're in pain. What I intend to do to you will be intense, very intense, and you have to guide me. Do you understand? Her face remains impassive, giving nothing away. This is about touch, Anastasia. You will not be able to see me or hear me, but you'll be able to feel me. Ignoring her confounded look, I turn to the audio player above the chest and switch it to auxiliary mode. I just have to choose a song, and in that moment I recall our conversation in the car after she'd slept in my bed at the Heathman. Let's see if she likes some Tudor choral music. I'm going to tie you to that bed, Anastasia. But I'm going to blindfold you first, and I show her the iPod. You will not be able to hear me. All you will hear is the music I'm going to play for you. I think it's surprise I see registering on her face, but I'm not sure. Come. I lead her to the foot of the bed. Stand here. Leaning down, I breathe in her sweet scent and whisper in her ear. Wait here. Keep your eyes on the bed. Picture yourself lying here, bound and totally at my mercy. She sucks in her breath. Yes, baby. Think about it. I resist the temptation to plant a soft kiss on her shoulder. I need to braid her hair first and fetch a flogger. From the top of the chest, I grab the hair tie, and from the rack, I select my favorite flogger, which I stuff into the back pocket of my jeans. When I return to stand behind her, I gently take her hair and braid it. While I like your pigtails, Anastasia, I am impatient to have you right now, so one will have to do. I fasten and tug on the braid so she's forced to step back against me. Winding the end around my wrist, I pull to the right, bending her head to expose her neck. I run my nose from her earlobe to her shoulder, sucking and biting gently. She smells so good. She shivers and hums deep in her throat. Hush now, I caution. And taking the flogger from my pocket, I reach around her, my arms brushing hers, and show it to her. I hear her catch her breath and see her fingers twitch. Touch it, I whisper, knowing that's what she wants. She raises her hand, pauses, then runs her fingers through the soft suede tails. It's arousing. I will use this. It will not hurt, but it will bring your blood to the surface of your skin and make you very sensitive. What are the safe words, Anastasia?
Yellow and red, sir,
she murmurs, transfixed by the flogger. Good girl. Remember, most of your fear is in your mind. I drop the flogger on the bed and brush my fingers down her sides, past the soft swell of her hips, and slip them into her panties. You won't be needing these. I drag them down her legs and kneel behind her. She grabs hold of the pillar to shuffle awkwardly out of her underwear. Stand still, I command, and kiss her behind, gently nipping each cheek. Now lie down, face up. I spank her once, and she jumps, startled, and scurries onto the bed. She lies down facing me, her eyes on mine, glowing with excitement, and a little trepidation, I think. Hands above your head. She does as she's told. I retrieve the earbuds, blindfold, iPod, and the remote from atop the chest of drawers. Sitting beside her on the bed, I show her the iPod with the transmitter. Her look darts from my face to the devices and back again. This sends what's playing on the iPod to the system in the room. I can hear what you're hearing, and I have a remote control unit for it. Once she's seen everything, I insert the earbuds into her ears and place the iPod on the pillow. Lift your head. She obeys, and I slip the blindfold over her eyes. Rising, I take her left hand and cuff her wrist to the leather shackle at the top corner of the bed. I let my fingers linger down her outstretched arm, and she wriggles in response. As I walk slowly around the bed, her head follows the sound of my footsteps. I repeat the process with her right hand, cuffing her wrist. Anna's breathing alters, becoming erratic and fast through parted lips. A flush creeps up her chest, and she squirms and lifts her hips in anticipation. Good. At the bottom of the bed, I grab both her ankles. Lift your head again, I order. She does so immediately, and I drag her down the bed so that her arms are fully extended. She lets out a quiet moan and lifts her hips once more. I cuff each of her ankles to the corresponding corner of the bed so that she's spread-eagled before me, and I step back to admire the view. Fuck. Has she ever looked this hot? She's totally and willingly at my mercy. The knowledge is intoxicating, and I stand for a moment to marvel at her generosity and courage. I drag myself away from the spellbinding sight, and from the chest of drawers collect the rabbit fur glove. Before I put it on, I press play on the remote. There's a brief hiss, and then the 40-part motet begins, the singer's angelic voice ringing through the playroom and over the delectable Miss Steele. She stills as she listens, and I walk around the bed, drinking her in. Reaching out, I caress her neck with the glove. She inhales sharply and pulls at her shackles, but she doesn't cry out or tell me to stop. Slowly, I run my gloved hand down her throat, over her sternum, then over her breasts, enjoying her restrained squirm. Circling her breasts, I gently tug on each of her nipples, and her moan of appreciation encourages me to head south. At a leisurely, deliberate pace, I explore her body, her belly, her hips, the apex of her thighs, and down each leg. The music swells, more voices joining the choir in perfect counterpoint to my moving hand. I watch her mouth to determine how she's feeling. Now she gapes in pleasure. Now she bites her lip. When I run my hand over her sex, she clenches her behind, pushing herself into my hand. Though I normally like her to keep still, the movement pleases me. Miss Steele is enjoying this. She's greedy. When I brush her breasts again, her nipples harden in the wake of the glove. Yes. Now that her skin is sensitized, I remove the glove and pick up the flogger. With great care, I trail the beaded ends over her skin, following the same pattern. Over her chest, her breasts, her belly, through her pubic hair, and down her legs. As more choristers lend their voices to the motet, I lift the handle of the flogger and flick the tresses across her belly. She cries out, I think in surprise, but she doesn't safe word. I give her a moment to absorb the sensation, then do it again, a little harder this time. She pulls at her shackles and calls out once more, a garbled cry, but it's not the safe word. I lash the flogger over her breasts, and she tilts her head back and lets out a soundless cry, her mouth slack as she writhes on the red satin. Still no safe word. Anna is embracing her inner freak. I feel giddy with delight as I rein the tails up and down her body, watching her skin warm under their bite. When the choristers pause, so do I. Christ. She looks stunning. I begin again as the music crescendos, all the voices singing together. I flick the flogger over her again and again, and she writhes beneath each blow. When the last note rings through the room, I stop, dropping the flogger on the floor. I'm breathless, panting with want and need. Fuck. She lays on the bed, helpless, her skin pretty and pink, and she's panting, too. Oh, baby. I climb onto the bed between her legs and crawl over her, holding myself above her. When the music starts again, the lone voice singing a sweet seraphic note, I follow the same pattern as the glove and the flogger, but this time with my mouth, kissing and sucking and worshiping every inch of her body. I tease each of her nipples until they are glistening with my saliva and standing at attention. She writhes as much as the restraints allow and groans beneath me. My tongue trails down to her belly, around her navel, laving her, tasting her, venerating her. Moving down through her pubic hair to her sweet exposed clitoris that's begging for the touch of my tongue. Around and around I swirl, drinking in her scent, drinking in her reaction, until I feel her tremble beneath me. Oh no, not yet, Anna. Not yet. I stop, and she huffs her voiceless disappointment. I kneel up between her legs and pull open my fly, freeing my erection. Then, leaning over, I gently undo the left shackle around her ankle. She curls her leg around me in a long-limbed caress while I release her other ankle. Once she's free, I massage and knead the life back into her legs, from her calves up to her thighs. She wriggles beneath me, raising her hips in perfect rhythm to the talus motet, as my thumbs work their way up her inner thighs, which are dewy from her arousal. I stifle a growl and grasp her hips, lifting her from the bed, and in one swift, rough move I bury myself inside her. Fuck. She's slick and hot and wet, and her body pulses around me, on the edge. No. Too soon. Way too soon. I stop, holding myself still over her and in her, while sweat beads on my brow. Please, she calls out, and I tighten my hold on her as I quell the urge to move and lose myself in her. Closing my eyes so I can't see her laid out beneath me in all her wonder, I concentrate on the music. And once I'm in control again, slowly I start to move. As the intensity of the choral piece builds, I slowly increase my pace, matching the power and rhythm of the music, cherishing every tight inch inside her. She fists her hands and tilts her head back and moans. Yes.
Please,
she pleads between gritted teeth. I hear you, baby. Laying her back down on the bed, I stretch out over her, supporting my weight on my elbows, and I follow the rhythm, thrusting into her and losing myself in her and the music. Sweet, brave Anna. Sweat glides down my back. Come on, baby. Please. And finally, she explodes around me, shouting out her release and pushing me into an intense, draining climax where I lose all sense of self. I collapse on top of her as my world shifts and realigns, leaving that unfamiliar emotion swirling in my chest, consuming me. I shake my head, trying to chase away the ominous and confusing feeling. Reaching up, I grab the remote and switch off the music. No more Talus. The music definitely contributed to what was almost a religious experience. I frown, attempting but failing to get a handle on my feelings. I slide out of Anna and stretch to release her from each cuff. She sighs as she flexes her fingers, and gently I remove the blindfold and the earbuds. Big blue eyes blink up at me. Hi, I whisper.
Hi yourself,
she says, playful and bashful. Her response is delightful, and leaning down, I plant a tender kiss on her lips.
Well done, you.
My voice is filled with pride. She did it. She took it. She took it all. Turn over. Her eyes widen in alarm. I'm just going to rub your shoulders.
Oh, okay.
She rolls over and flops down on the bed with her eyes closed. I sit astride her and massage her shoulders. A pleasurable rumble resonates deep in her throat.
What was that music?
She asks. It's called Spem in Alium, a 40-part motet by Thomas Talus.
It was overwhelming.
I've always wanted to fuck to it.
Not another first, Mr. Gray?
I grin. Indeed, Miss Steele.
Well, it's the first time I've fucked to it, too,
she says, her voice betraying her fatigue. You and I, we're giving each other many firsts.
What did I say to you in my sleep, Chris? Sir?
Not this again. Put her out of her misery, Gray. You said lots of things, Anastasia. You talked about cages and strawberries, that you wanted more, and that you missed me.
Is that all?
She sounds relieved.
Why would she be relieved?
I stretch out beside her so I can see her face.
What did you think you'd said?
She opens her eyes for a brief moment and shuts them again quickly.
That I thought you were ugly, conceited, and that you were hopeless in bed.
One blue eye peeks open and watches me warily. Oh, she's lying. Well, naturally I am all those things, and now you've got me really intrigued. What are you hiding from me, Miss Steele?
I'm not hiding anything.
Anastasia, you're a hopeless liar.
I thought you were going to make me giggle after sex. This isn't doing it for me.
Her answer is unexpected, and I give her a reluctant smile. I can't tell jokes, I confess.
Mr. Gray, something you can't do?
She rewards me with a broad, infectious grin. No, hopeless joke teller, I say, as if it's a badge of honor. She giggles.
I'm a hopeless joke teller, too.
That is such a lovely sound, I whisper, and kiss her. But I still want to know why she's relieved. And you are hiding something, Anastasia. I may have to torture it out of you.
Huh?
The space between us is filled with her laughter.
I think you've done enough torturing.
Her response wipes the smile off my face, and her expression softens immediately.
Maybe I'll let you torture me like that again,
she says coyly. Relief sweeps through me. I'd like that very much, Miss Steele.
We aim to please, Mr. Gray.
You're okay? I ask, humbled and anxious at once.
More than okay.
She gives me her timid smile. You're amazing. I kiss her forehead, then climb off the bed as that ominous feeling ripples through me once more. Shaking it off, I button my fly and hold out my hand to help her off the bed. When she's standing, I pull her into my arms and kiss her, savoring her taste. Bed, I mutter, and lead her to the door. There I wrap her in the bathrobe she's left hanging on the peg, and before she can protest, I pick her up and carry her downstairs to my bedroom.
I'm so tired,
she mumbles once she's in my bed. Sleep now, I whisper, and wrap her in my arms. I close my eyes, fighting the disquieting sensation that surges and fills my chest once more. It's like homesickness and a homecoming rolled into one, and it's terrifying. Saturday, June 4th, 2011. The summer breeze teases my hair, its caress the nimble fingers of a lover. My lover, Anna. I wake suddenly, confused. My bedroom is shrouded in darkness, and beside me Anna sleeps, her breathing gentle and even. I prop myself up on one elbow and run my hand through my hair, with the uncanny feeling that someone has just done exactly that. I glance around the room, peering into the shadowy corners, but Anna and I are alone. Strange. I could swear someone was here. Someone touched me. It was just a dream. I shake off the disturbing thought and check the time. It's after 4:30 in the morning. As I flop back down onto my pillow, Anna mumbles an incoherent word and turns over to face me, still fast asleep. She looks serene and beautiful. I stare at the ceiling,
the flashing light of the smoke alarm taunting me once more. We have no contract, yet Anna's here, beside me. What does this mean? How am I supposed to deal with her? Will she abide by my rules? I need to know that she's safe. I rub my face. This is uncharted territory for me. It's out of my control, and it's unsettling. Leela pops into my mind. Shit. My mind races. Leela, work, Anna, and I know I won't get back to sleep. Getting up, I pull on some PJ pants, close the bedroom door, and head into the living room to my piano. Chopin is my solace. The somber notes match my mood, and I play them over and over. A small movement at the edge of my vision catches my attention, and looking up, I see it's Anna coming toward me, her footsteps hesitant. You should be asleep, I mutter, but continue playing.
So should you,
she volleys back. Her face is firm with resolve, yet she looks small and vulnerable, dressed only in my oversized bathrobe. I hide my smile. Are you scolding me, Miss Steele?
Yes, Mr. Gray, I am.
Well, I can't sleep. I have too much weighing on my mind, and I'd rather she went back to bed and slept. She must be tired from yesterday. She disregards my mood and sits down beside me on the piano bench, leaning her head on my shoulder. It's such a tender and intimate gesture that for a moment I lose my place in the prelude, but I continue playing, feeling more at peace because she's with me.
What was that?
She asks when I finish. Chopin, a prelude, Opus 28, number 4, in E minor, if you're interested.
I'm always interested in what you do.
Sweet Anna. I kiss her hair. I didn't mean to wake you.
You didn't,
she says, not moving her head.
Play the other one.
Other one?
The Bach piece that you played the first night I stayed.
Oh, the Marcello. I can't remember when I last played for someone upon request. For me, the piano is a solitary instrument, for my ears only. My family hasn't heard me play for years. But since she's asked, I'll play for my sweet Anna. My fingers caress the keys and the haunting melody echoes through the living room.
Why do you only play such sad music?
She asks. Is it sad?
So you were just 6 when you started to play?
She continues her questions, lifting her head and studying me. Her face is open and eager for information, as usual. And after last night, who am I to deny her anything? I threw myself into learning the piano to please my new mother.
To fit into the perfect family?
My words from our candid night in Savannah echo in her soft voice. Yes, so to speak. I don't want to talk about this. And I'm surprised how much of my personal information she's retained. Why are you awake? Don't you need to recover from yesterday's exertions?
It's 8 in the morning for me, and I need to take my pill.
Well remembered, I muse. Only you would start a course of time-specific birth control pills in a different time zone. Perhaps you should wait 30 minutes, and then another 30 minutes tomorrow morning. So eventually you can take them at a reasonable time.
Good plan, she says. So what shall we do for 30 minutes?
Well, I could fuck you over this piano. I can think of a few things. My voice is seductive.
On the other hand, we could talk.
She smiles, provocative. I'm not in the mood for talking. I prefer what I have in mind. I snake my arm around her waist, pull her into my lap, and nuzzle her hair.
You'd always rather have sex than talk,
she laughs. True, especially with you. Her hands curl around my biceps, yet the darkness stays still and quiet. I trail kisses from the base of her ear to her throat. Maybe on my piano, I murmur,
as my body responds to a mental image of her sprawled naked on the top, her hair spilling down over the side.
"I want to get something straight,"
she speaks quietly in my ear. "Always so eager for information, Miss Steele. What needs straightening out?" Her skin is soft and warm against my lips as I nudge her bathrobe off her shoulder with my nose.
"Us,"
she says, and the simple word sounds like a prayer. "What about us?" I pause. "Where is she going with this?"
"The contract."
I stop and stare down into her shrewd gaze. Why is she doing this now? My fingers glide down her cheek. "Well, I think the contract is moot, don't you?"
"Moot,"
she says, and her lips soften with the hint of a smile. "Moot." I mirror her expression.
"But you are so keen."
Uncertainty clouds Anna's eyes. "Well, that was before. Anyway, the rules aren't moot. They still stand. I need to know you're safe."
"Before? Before what?"
Before all this. Before you turned my world upside down. Before you sleeping with me. Before you laid your head on my shoulder at the piano. It's all...
more,"
I murmur, driving away the now familiar unease in my gut.
"Oh,"
she says, and I think she's pleased. "Besides, we've been in the playroom twice now, and you haven't run screaming for the hills."
"Do you expect me to?"
"Nothing you do is expected, Anastasia." The V between her brows is back.
"So let me be clear. You just want me to follow the rules element of the contract all the time, but not the rest of the contract?"
"Except in the playroom. I want you to follow the spirit of the contract in the playroom, and yes, I want you to follow the rules, all the time. Then I'll know you're safe, and I'll be able to have you anytime I wish," I add flippantly.
"And if I break one of the rules?" she asks.
"Then I'll punish you."
"But won't you need my permission?"
"Yes, I will."
"And if I say no?"
she persists. Why is she being so willful? "If you say no, you'll say no. I'll have to find a way to persuade you." She should know this. She didn't let me spank her in the boathouse, and I wanted to. But I got to do it later that evening, with her approval. She stands and walks toward the entrance of the living room, and for a moment I think she's storming off, but she turns, her expression perplexed.
"So the punishment aspect remains?"
"Yes, but only if you break the rules. This is clear to me. Why not to her?"
"I'll need to reread them,"
she says, suddenly all businesslike. She wants to do this now. "I'll fetch them for you." In my study, I fire up my computer and print out the rules, wondering why we are discussing this at 5 in the morning. She's at the sink, drinking a glass of water, when I return with the printout. I sit down on a stool and wait, watching her. Her back is stiff and tense. This does not bode well. When she turns around, I slide the sheet of paper toward her across the kitchen island.
"Here you go."
She scans the rules quickly.
"So the obedience thing still stands?"
"Oh, yes." She shakes her head, and an ironic smile tugs at the corner of her mouth as her eyes dart to the heavens. Oh, joy. My spirits suddenly lift.
"Did you just roll your eyes at me, Anastasia?" "Possibly. Depends what your reaction is."
She looks wary and amused at once. "Same as always. If she'll let me." She swallows, and her eyes widen with anticipation.
"So..."
"Yes."
"You want to spank me now?"
"Yes, and I will."
"Oh, really, Mr. Gray?"
She folds her arms, her chin thrust upward in a challenge. "Are you going to stop me?"
"You're going to have to catch me first,"
She wears a coquettish smile, which addresses my dick directly. She wants to play. I ease myself off the stool, watching her carefully. Oh, really, Miss Steele? The air almost crackles between us. Which way will she run? Her eyes are on mine, brimming with excitement. Her teeth tease her lower lip. And you're biting your lip. Is she doing it on purpose? I move slowly to my left.
You wouldn't, she taunts. After all, you roll your eyes.
With her eyes fixed on me, she too moves to her left. Yes, but you've just raised the bar on the excitement stakes with this game.
I'm quite fast, you know, she teases.
So am I. How does she make everything so thrilling? Are you going to come quietly?
Do I ever?
She grins, taking the bait.
Miss Steele, what do you mean?
I stalk her around the kitchen island. It'll be worse for you if I have to come and get you.
That's only if you catch me, Christian. And right now, I have no intention of letting you catch me.
Is she serious? Anastasia, you may fall and hurt yourself, which will put you in direct contravention of rule number 7, now 6.
I have been in danger since I met you, Mr. Gray, rules or no rules.
Yes, you have. Perhaps this is not a game. Is she trying to tell me something? She hesitates, and I make a sudden lunge to grab her. She squeals and dashes around the island, to the relative safety of the opposite side of the dining table. With her lips parted, her expression both wary and daring at once, the bathrobe slips off one shoulder. She looks hot. Really fucking hot. Slowly I prowl toward her, and she backs away. You certainly know how to distract a man, Anastasia.
We aim to please, Mr. Gray. Distract you from what?
Life, the universe, ex-subs who've gone missing, work, our arrangement, everything.
You did seem very preoccupied as you were playing.
She's not backing down. I stop and fold my arms, reassessing my strategy. We can do this all day, baby, but I will get you, and it will just be worse for you when I do.
No, you won't,
she says, with absolute certainty. I frown. Anyone would think you didn't want me to catch you.
I don't. That's the point. I feel about punishment the way you feel about me touching you.
And from nowhere, the darkness crawls over me, shrouding my skin, leaving an icy trail of despair in its wake. No. No. I can't bear to be touched. Ever. That's how you feel? It's like she's touched me, her nails leaving white tracks over my chest. She blinks several times, assessing my reaction, and when she speaks, her voice is gentle.
No. It doesn't affect me quite as much as that, but it gives you an idea.
Her expression is anxious. Well, hell. This shines a whole different light on our relationship. Oh, I mutter, because I can't think of anything else to say. She takes a deep breath and approaches me, and when she's standing in front of me, she looks up, her eyes burning with apprehension.
You hate it that much? I whisper.
This is it. We are really incompatible. No, I don't want to believe that.
Well, no,
she says, and relief washes through me.
No, she continues. I feel ambivalent about it. I don't like it, but I don't hate it.
But last night in the playroom, you...
I do it for you, Christian, because you need it. I don't. You didn't hurt me last night. That was in a different context. And I can rationalize that internally, and I trust you. But when you want to punish me, I worry that you'll hurt me.
Fuck. Tell her. It's truth or dare time, Gray. I want to hurt you. but not beyond anything that you couldn't take. I'd never go too far.
Why?
I just need it, I whisper. I can't tell you.
Can't or won't?
Won't.
So you know why?
Yes.
But you won't tell me.
If I do, you will run screaming from this room, and you'll never want to return. I can't risk that, Anastasia.
You want me to stay?
More than you know. I couldn't bear to lose you. I can no longer stomach the distance between us. I grab her to stop her from running, and I pull her into my arms, my lips seeking hers. She answers my need, her mouth molding to mine, kissing me back with the same passion and hope and longing. The hovering darkness recedes and I find my solace.
Don't leave me,
I whisper against her lips. You said you wouldn't leave me, and you begged me not to leave you in your sleep.
I don't want to go,
she says, but her eyes are searching mine, looking for answers, and I'm exposed, my ugly, torn soul on display.
Show me,
she says, and I don't know what she means.
Show you? Show me how much it can hurt.
What? I lean back and stare at her in disbelief.
Punish me. I want to know how bad it can get.
Oh, no. I release her and step out of her reach. She gazes at me, open, honest, serious. She's offering herself to me once more, mine for the taking, to do with as I wish. I'm stunned. She'd fulfill this need for me? I can't believe it.
You would try? Yes, I said I would.
Her expression is full of resolve.
Anna, you're so confusing. I'm confused, too. I'm trying to work this out. And you and I will know once and for all if I can do this. If I can handle this, then maybe you...
She stops, and I take a further step back. She wants to touch me. No. But if we do this, then I'll know. She'll know. We're here much sooner than I thought we'd be. Can I do this? And in that moment, I know there's nothing I want more. There's nothing that will satisfy the monster within me more. Before I can change my mind, I grasp her arm and lead her upstairs to the playroom. At the door, I stop. I'll show you how bad it can be, and you can make your own mind up. Are you ready for this? She nods, her face set with the stubborn determination that I've come to know so well. So be it. I open the door, quickly grab a belt from the rack before she changes her mind, and lead her to the bench in the corner of the room. Bend over the bench, I order quietly. She does as she's told, saying nothing. We're here because you said yes, Anastasia. And you ran from me. I'm going to hit you 6 times, and you will count with me. Still, she says nothing. I fold the hem of her bathrobe over her back, revealing her beautiful naked behind. I run my palm over her buttocks and the top of her thighs, and a frisson runs through me. This is it. What I want. What I've been working toward. I am doing this so that you remember not to run from me. And as exciting as it is, I never want you to run from me. And you rolled your eyes at me. You know how I feel about that. I take a deep breath, savoring this moment, trying to steady my thundering heartbeat. I need this. This is what I do. And we're finally here. She can do it. She's never let me down yet. Holding her in place with one hand at the small of her back, I shake out the belt. I take another deep breath, focusing on the task in hand. She won't run. She's asked me. Then I wield it, striking her across both cheeks hard. She cries out, in shock. But she's not called out the number, or the safe word.
Count Anastasia, I demand.
One,
she shouts. Okay, no safe word. I hit her again.
Two,
she screams. That's right. Let it out, baby. I hit her once more.
Three.
She winces. There are three stripes across her backside. I make it four. She shouts the number loud and clear. There's no one to hear you, baby. Shout all you need. I belt her again.
Five.
She sobs, and I pause, waiting for her to safe word. She doesn't. And one for luck.
Six.
Anna whispers, her voice forced and hoarse. I drop the belt, savoring my sweet, euphoric release. I'm punch drunk, breathless, and finally replete. Oh, this beautiful girl. My beautiful girl. I want to kiss every inch of her body. We're here, where I want to be. I reach for her, pulling her into my arms.
Let go, no.
She struggles out of my grasp, scrambling away from me, pushing and shoving and finally turning on me like a seething wildcat.
Don't touch me,
she hisses. Her face is blotchy and smeared with tears. Her nose is running, and her hair is a dark, tangled mess. But she has never looked so magnificent, and at the same time so angry. Her anger crashes over me like a tidal wave. She's mad. Really mad. Okay. I hadn't figured on anger. Give her a moment. Wait for the endorphins to kick in. She dashes away her tears with the back of her hand.
This is what you really like? Me? Like this?
She wipes her nose with the sleeve of the bathrobe. My euphoria vanishes. I'm stunned, completely helpless and paralyzed by her anger. The crying I know and understand, but this rage, somewhere deep inside it resonates with me, and I don't want to think about that. Don't go there, Gray. Why didn't she ask me to stop? She didn't safe word. She deserved to be punished. She ran from me. She rolled her eyes. This is what happens when you defy me, baby. She scowls, blue eyes wide and bright, filled with hurt and rage and sudden chilling insight. Shit. What have I done? It's sobering. I'm unbalanced, teetering at the edge of a dangerous precipice, desperately searching for the words to make this right, but my mind is blank.
Well, you are one fucked up son of a bitch,
she snarls. All the breath leaves my body, and it's like she's whipped me with a belt. Fuck. She's recognized me for what I am. She's seen the monster.
Anna,
I whisper, pleading with her. I want her to stop. I want to hold her and make the pain go away. I want her to sob in my arms.
Don't you dare, Anna, me. You need to sort your shit out, Gray.
She snaps and walks out of the playroom, quietly shutting the door behind her. Stunned, I stare at the closed door, her words ringing in my ears. You are one fucked up son of a bitch. No one has ever walked out on me. What the hell? Mechanically, I run my hand through my hair, trying to rationalize her reaction and mine. I just let her go. I'm not mad. I'm... what? I stoop to pick up the belt, walk to the wall, and hang it on its peg. That was, without doubt, one of the most satisfying moments of my life. A moment ago I felt lighter, the weight of uncertainty between us gone. It's done. We're there. Now that she knows what's involved, we can move on. I told her. People like me like inflicting pain, but only on women who like it. My sense of unease grows. Her reaction,
The image of her injured, haunted look is back, unwelcome in my mind's eye. It's unsettling. I'm used to making women cry. It's what I do.